CliffCentral.com.
It's nice. I don't care if it's old. It's damn fine, right? Isn't that nice? That's beautiful. That's called La Vie en Rose by Edith Piaf.
That's beautiful, Gareth. I imagine that's what a suicide starts like.
Oh, shut up. Oh, I see lots and lots of interesting things coming up, and plenty of people want to talk about all the news over the weekend, so let's get straight into it. Mubs has got a look at the news for us today, cliffcentral.com. Monday morning, wherever you are, whatever you're up to, it's time to listen up, because these are the things that you need to know. Right, Mubs?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do it. Here's your music. All right,
well, before I talk about the shooting in America, let me start here at home with a very horrible story, in my opinion, that surfaced over the weekend when former SABC board member Hope Zinde's body was found in the boot of a car.
Oh, my God. This is a horrible story. I read it over the weekend.
Yeah,
oh.
It's just
bizarre.
It really just leaves you with chills down your spine. Among other things, she was the head of communications at the SABC. Mm-hmm. But what happened over the weekend was that her body was discovered in the boot of a car in Pekinwood Estate in Hartbeespoort Dam. And her 28-year-old son is going to appear in the Brits Magistrates Court today.
So they say it was him?
It seems as though he is being charged and accused of murdering his mother.
Jesus.
What?
Why would he do that? What's going on there?
I have no idea. The 50-year-old woman's son is expected to appear in the Brits court, as I mentioned this morning. The police said that he happens to be the victim's son and will appear in court to face a charge of possession of drugs and then also a charge of murder.
Oh, wow. So he was obviously high and, you know, no judgment applied. And
oy, indeed.
Well, let's not make any assumptions. Let's see what happens.
Well, that's the thing, is there's very little information available at the moment. But, you know, seemingly the police seem to think that they have enough evidence on them to charge this man of murder. And so we will watch all of this play out in the court today.
I think I met Hope Zinde once or twice. And she was a lovely woman. Very, very charming on the few occasions that I met her. But I didn't know her well. It's so awful that you'd find, like, imagine murdering your mother. Imagine what happens when you realize you've done that. Huh?
Yeah, it must.
How does life feel after that?
I mean, if it doesn't lead to some kind of mental breakdown, I don't know how one would go on after something like that. Apparently, she was killed on Monday, but her body was only discovered on Saturday. So a whole 6 days that body was in the boot.
Wow, listen, if any of your relatives go missing, report it immediately. Found dead in the boot of a Range Rover. Oy vey. Apparently they saw the son in his 20s peeping through the curtains of their home at an estate. According to the police, the family tried unsuccessfully since Wednesday to make contact with her, and the son refused to open the door. Tell you what. They found a large number of drugs in the possession of her son, while a 10-kilogram weight covered in blood was also discovered from the scene. Mm. This is like a weight. He would have used like a...
What, like dumbbells or what?
Something like that to kill her.
Oh,
good
goodness.
Lord. How awful. What awful, awful thing to do. Oh. Anyway. All right. Well, let's look at more awful things while we're on it.
Well, Gareth, the United States are calling this latest mass shooting the worst mass killing in the United States history. And the shooter was American-born, who'd pledged allegiance to ISIS. He gunned down 50 people early on Sunday at a gay nightclub in Orlando. Yeah. His name was Omar Mateen, 29. Apparently, he'd been interviewed by the FBI back in 2013 and 2014, but was not found to be a threat. He called 911 during the attack to pledge allegiance to ISIS and then mentioned the Boston Marathon bombers as well. You remember those two, the brothers? His ex-wife has said, because she was married to this guy for a couple of years and then they got a divorce, and she said part of the reason that she got a divorce was because initially, you know, in the beginning stages of their marriages, he was, you know, the normal husband, but then he started abusing her. So then she decided, nope, not dealing with this, I'm out. Now, she has said that she thinks that he was mentally ill, possibly suffered from bipolar disorder, although he was never officially diagnosed. But yeah, you know, she cites moments of abuse by him in the marriage, and so she divorced him in 2011.
We've got such an interesting conflation of issues here. So we've got to be very careful how we handle this thing. First of all, there's the obvious one, which is gay nightclub homophobia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Islam. Is this a hateful ideology? Can you be pro-Islam and pro-gay at the same time? Can you? Figure this out. Now, we've got to go through this logically. The other thing is guns. Is this because guns are so freely available? Is this a gun crime? Is this to be put in the same category as school shootings and those kinds of things? Let's go through it bit by bit. All right, shall we try and work this out?
All right, let's
try. This is going to be difficult. I'm warning you, there's going to be a lot of soul searching required here. So you have to promise me you'll be completely honest if we go through this process. Shall we do it?
Yep. Let's try.
First things first. This guy is an American. Okay, he's not from Syria. He's not from some other poisonous place where they taught him from an early age to be a maniac. He's come into this country. He seems to have had a pretty normal life for a long, long time. Even his wife says so, his now ex-wife. Then he was taken in by this ideology. So let's start with Islam. Is Islam compatible with being gay?
Is any religion?
Well, in this case, let's keep it to Islam, because we're not going to make false equivalencies between this and other religions. This is a specific case.
Judging by the countries that are Islamic that ban people from being gay, I would say no.
Ban them. They kill gay people. Yeah. They throw them off buildings and they stone them to death.
It is illegal to be gay in many Islamic strongholds.
Is it possible to be pro-Islam and pro-gay? Is it possible to be... In other words, are all Muslims by definition meant to be, not all of them are they meant to be homophobic by definition?
Sure.
Is that what the ideology tells you? I told you this wasn't going to be easy.
Yeah, but I imagine that they are, well, actually not I imagine, we know that there are plenty of gay Muslims. We
sure.
know this for a fact.
No, of course.
That's how they end up being killed. So for them, mm-hmm. it's completely...
It's the hardest thing.
It's completely logical for them to be Muslim and then also to be gay, because they are.
Well, you are gay. You're born gay, or you find out that you're gay. But that's a biological thing or a genetic thing or whatever it might be. We haven't figured it out yet, but it's in you. It's part of who you are. Being Muslim is either what you're born into or what you really believe, right? So the one is an ideology. The other one is who you are. So I told you this was going to be hard. Now, let's leave that for a moment and let's go to guns. A lot of people are saying, well, this is yet another gun crime. And this just proves that guns are the problem. Do you agree with that?
Sure, because we do know that there are huge debates around gun laws and gun control in that country. We know this for a fact. Big debates.
Yeah, and a lot of good ideas and bills don't get passed because the gun lobbyists have lots of money.
Well, a guy called Brendan O'Neill says, blaming guns for the Orlando massacre is as mad as blaming airplanes for 9/11. An obsession with the technical means of murder in preference to the confronting of the ideology behind it.
Yeah, but we've had this discussion before.
Mm-hmm.
If Ben is going to kill Gareth, Will it be easier for Ben to kill Gareth with a gun or with a knife?
Ben, a gun.
Yeah, it's easier to use the gun, so sure. He will opt for the gun.
It's
so
true.
In that sense, the gun is problematic because it makes the act of killing that much easier.
If this guy went into this nightclub with a day-old cucumber, it would be a very different thing. So obviously there is a gun factor here.
Absolutely. But the gun is not the thing we should be focused on, because the gun is just the means he used to commit the horrible atrocities he did. If he'd had a machete, he would have probably used that. If he hadn't had a machete, if he'd had a Gatling gun or a rocket launcher, he would have used that, right? Then we would be saying rocket launchers are evil. Right?
No, but we've never had debates around other weapons before when it comes to the United States. It's always been guns, and there's a reason for that.
I completely agree. But in this case, this guy was on a mission to kill. He was there to kill. That's what he wanted to do. So if he'd had worse weapons than guns, which are not commercially available, like, let's say, a nuclear weapon, he would have used that. And the whole of Florida would be a big, giant glass crater right now. Right?
Wow, this guy's got a scary thought.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're sitting with here. So guns, it's again, we're unresolved on this issue, but I think you could see where I'm heading to. Of course guns are a problem in this case, but this is not a situation which requires guns to be the focus of attention. In this case, we've got two very important things happening. We've got someone who's got a wicked religious indoctrination going on, which makes him want to kill and hate other people. And we've got people who are gay, who are not able to be compatible on any scale with the religious teachings of very many religions, but in this case, we're talking about Islam. Okay. And they live in a free country where being gay is not criminal and believing whatever you want to is not criminal. So both these people are allowed to exist in the same environment.
Yep.
It's not legislation's fault. It's not politics. It's not society. It's not government. It's not the philosophy of separation of church and state. There's none of that that comes into this. But essentially, we have a problem. As liberals, as classical liberals now, we have a problem. We have to decide which is the greater and more egregious crime. And where is this situated? Where does it come from? Does anyone have any answers?
Nothing obvious pops up, no.
What's the problem here? How do we sort this problem out? If we banned guns, would that sort the problem out? It would help.
It would definitely help. I think it would bring the numbers down, but it would still happen.
Be much harder to bludgeon people to death with a cudgel, or to do what this guy in Pekinwood did to his mother with a weight.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But I mean, just to give you an idea, this was the 175th mass shooting this year in America, right?
I'm not arguing with you, and we all have a problem.
Just putting the point that guns make these kind of crimes easier.
And by the way, this shooter bought the guns legally anyway.
Yes.
So this is not about illegal weapons, all right? And the club was a gun-free zone, by the way. So there we are. That's part of the argument too. So what other answers do we have here? Is the philosophy, is the idea, if it weren't bundled into a religion, which billions of people across the world believe in, is the idea of hating someone because they're gay acceptable? This is not a difficult question. No, obviously is the answer. It's completely unacceptable to hate someone because of what nature has made them.
Yeah.
That's like hating someone because they're black, or hating someone because they're tall, or hating someone because they have different colored eyes to you. It's completely unacceptable. So you can't hate someone because they're gay. If your religion preaches that you must hate someone because you're gay, or that being gay is some kind of an abomination of nature,
it's wrong.
Then your religion is simply evil. Full stop. Now, it always turns out that Islam is the one that's picked on, because Islam's the one that is in the heat of its self-confidence. It's at that point in its evolution where it hasn't been tamed like Christianity has. And I mean to use these words pejoratively. I don't mean to use them in any kind of soft and gentle way. If Islam had gone through a reformation and Islam had gone through an enlightenment like Christianity did, because Christianity's been cowed now. It is subject to the rules of the secular state. This is not the case for Islam, and certainly not in the Islamic world, but increasingly we see an attempt by this religion to have its own rules applied across the rest of the world too. This is clearly the source of our problem. This is where it comes from. Now, you could say that it's not a certain imam or a certain follower. And of course, most Muslims, this is not even a debate, are horrified by this, as are every other kind of religious or non-religious person or grouping. And that's not my argument either. It's not that this is something that all Muslims have to own up to, like it's all their fault. It's absolutely not. This is one crazy guy. But the ideology that informs his behavior is a wicked one that is holding us back as humanity. And not only holding us back, but is causing the cost of lives here into the kinds of numbers that we don't want to see. I mean, one death is bad, but to see this kind of hatred, bunch of people having fun on a weekend, that's what this is. Unacceptable to one guy because he's so devout. He has so much faith. He's a good religious person. He is the most devout of all of us. He believes more than anyone else because he's willing to act on those beliefs. Now, you can't hate him for that if the religion or the ideology that informs him is telling him that that's the right way to behave. You can't hate him. He's just doing what a good devout person does, and he's better at his religion than you are if he's doing this, according to the letter of his religion. So you figure this out for me. What is a greater paragon of classical liberal attitudes? Tolerance, in this case, of things that are offensive, like homophobia, or tolerance of tolerance of gay people? And then bring guns into it, and we have a whole clusterfuck of, it's the liberal Armageddon, effectively, because where are we now? Which one do we choose? Which one is the most saintly, and which one is the most egregious of these problems? It's very difficult, you understand. And I didn't even mean to get into this because I only heard the story yesterday and I haven't even thought it through properly. There may be all kinds of gaps in arguments going both ways, and in this case going six different ways. But at this stage, this is what I'm thinking. And it's a very uncomfortable place for me to be as someone who wants to believe that we can all exist side by side and that these things are possible. I like to imagine that there's a world where you can allow someone to be what they want to be and you can believe what you want to believe and we don't have to kill each other. I'd like to believe that. But things like this make me think maybe it's not. So if you have answers, please tell me. I'd love to hear your argument. I'd love to hear a better argument than mine.
Also, if his ex-wife is to be believed, because, you know, as far as she's concerned, he was mentally ill.
Then that's another whole layer of stuff.
Yeah, that's another thing thrown in there, because how often have we heard after a gun shooting incident in America, when the shooter is apprehended by the law, and then they'll come back and say, yeah, well, he was mentally unstable.
Right. But again, let's not absolve all the other stuff of its responsibility, whether it's guns, whether it's lax control of those weapons, whether it's the religious information. And remember, if you're a mentally ill person and we're led to believe that, what, one in every four or five people in America has mental illness of some kind? Guess what you're susceptible to? Religion. It boggles my mind. It really does. I don't have an answer. Here's Carl. He says, there is an argument for tougher gun control. The guy was on a terrorist watch list and was still legally able to buy a gun. That can't be right. You can't blame the gun. But what's the point of the watch list if it doesn't prevent this sort of thing? Good point.
Well, the FBI decided that he wasn't, you know, there wasn't enough for them to be concerned about, so they let him go. They interviewed him in 2013 and 2014. And then as far as they were concerned, by whatever standards that they use, they decided, meh, he's not a problem.
Angelique says, there's something I struggle with all the time. I'm a Christian, but by no means am I a homophobe. Is there a middle ground? I'm looking for a gay best friend. Anushka says, radical Islam, radical Christianity, life became radical. Again, all of this points to one fundamental issue that humans need to go. Nature needs a reset. Control, alt, delete. Well, that speaks to Mabali. She's always on that page. Avi says, I can't buy a plane. Response to 9/11 was, with a gun or a plane that someone made. But I can walk into a Walmart here and buy a military-grade assault rifle and 300 rounds. Do we not see a problem with that? Totally, Avi. Totally. There is no reason in the world that anyone, any civilian, should have an assault rifle of that kind. Jersey says, Why can't this be a gun problem, terrorist problem, and an ideology problem? Just a thought. People trying to put this into one box. Jonathan Witz chimed in and said, if he had kicked one person to death because of his ideology, is that better? No, of course not. Sean says, guns don't kill people, people kill people. And Kevin says, the same thing. I've been around guns all my life. I've never even thought of killing a person.
Yeah, that's you. And thank goodness.
Yeah, we're glad. We're very glad about that.
But I mean, if the stats of one in four Americans being mentally ill, then that's a problem.
It is a problem. It means a lot of crazy people can get guns.
Yeah.
What do you say, Donald?
And then, of course, we have Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, Father.
Has anybody heard what he's had to say on the matter?
Oh, because yeah. No, he's chimed in and said, I want to thank you very much for congratulating me on determining that this would happen at some point.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, Donald.
You know, because he's been trying to stop Muslim immigration into America. He says that until we've figured it out, whatever that means...
That's just a nice way of saying forever, because we're never going to figure it out.
Well, one of my friends said on our little friends group the other day, in fact, no, it was yesterday when all of this broke, he said, what a horrible, disgusting human being. In fact, let me just quote him directly. Currently, the group's name is Bonobos. That's us.
Okay.
You know, all humans are bonobos, really. And there are a lot of funny pictures we've been sending each other of, like, apes sitting in water with... a banana in each hand. So the group is called Bonobos at the moment. He says... The most despicable person imaginable, Donald Trump. That's according to this one friend of mine.
Sure.
But then a lot of people are saying, you know, it's consistent with his core message, which is fuck terrorists before they fuck us.
Mm.
And basically that we have to mount a decent offensive rather than be on the defensive the whole time. But Billy Crystal made the news over the weekend. I don't know if anybody watched the Muhammad Ali funeral memorial service.
I missed it.
I saw Will Smith was there. It was a very moving ceremony. And, you know, Ben has said quite a lot about Muhammad Ali because he was a sporting legend. But I believe Muhammad Ali's made even bigger contributions. He was boasting and bragging and getting all of that stuff right long before anybody else thought it was polite to do so. And in some way, he drove social change forward. And not in a small way, by the way. And I'm very, very sad he's gone. And I'm sad that we got 31 years where he wasn't able to participate in society the way that he did in the beginning. Because I think he would have been even more revolutionary. He's a greater revolutionary, this man, than Che Guevara, than Fidel Castro, than Julius Malema or Hugo Chavez ever could be. If Muhammad Ali, and this is my assertion, if Muhammad Ali had not existed, hip-hop wouldn't have existed.
Yeah, I mean, he started the whole rhyming thing, didn't he?
Exactly. And that's no small thing. No. Hip-hop is the poetry of the 21st century, right?
Mm.
And Muhammad Ali was the first hip-hop artist. So I was very sad. I watched the whole thing on Friday evening. I watched it on the internet. But this is Billy Crystal, who, of all the people to give a eulogy, I would never have expected Billy Crystal. But he managed to make people laugh at a funeral, which is always my favorite thing about a funeral. If you can make people laugh, if you can make people think of the person who you loved who's gone in a happy way, that's the best thing ever, right? Here he is. Listen to Billy Crystal.
Got to the podium, went right into the Cosell. Hello, everyone. Howard Cosell coming to you live from Zaire. Some would pronounce it Zaire. They're wrong. It got big laughs. And then I went into the Ali.
Everybody's talking about George Foreman. I want to talk about George Foreman. George Foreman was ugly. He's so slow. George was slow. I come out, voop, voop, voop. And then I have a rope-a-dope George, and I'm still fast at 33 years of age. I'm so fast I can turn up the lights, be in my bed before the room gets dark. Howard, I'm announcing tonight that I got new religious beliefs. From now on, I want to be known as Izzy Yiskowitz. I am now an Orthodox Jew, Izzy Yiskowitz. I am the greatest of all time.
Oh, what a guy.
The audience exploded. See, no one had ever done him before. And here he was, a white kid from Long Island, imitating the greatest of all time, and he was loving it. And when I was done, he gave me this big bear hug and he whispered in my ear, "You're my little brother." Which is what he always called me until the last time that I saw him.
Wow, huh? Isn't that nice? So there's something to feel a little more upbeat about.
Can we have some Oscar betting?
Oscar betting, yes. Let's talk about Oscar Pistorius, who's back in the news. He's been sentenced this week, right?
Yeah,
yes.
So how long do you reckon?
I don't know.
Sorry, what is
an office pool going
on? What he's facing again is...
Let the witnesses emotional, maybe take adjournment.
He's facing a maximum of 15, right? Or not?
Yeah, he'll get 7-8 years. But still a long time. He'll come out at 40 years old. If he's good, if he behaves himself in prison, and then what's he going to do?
I know, but...
Well, then he's going to try and cash in on the books, because after you serve your sentence, can you then profit off your crime? How does that thing work? Because I know he can't do things now.
I don't know. Someone help me with the rules.
But didn't he give an interview to the English, like some English either TV channel or newspaper?
I don't know if it's him or if it's the family. I mean, I want to see this interview, don't you?
Yes, I do. And it's amazing.
I'm still not bored with him.
Yeah, but Uncle Arnold is what's keeping the show together.
Yeah,
for sure. He has been for so long now.
The last report I heard was that Uncle Arnold told Oscar to do this interview because Uncle Arnold's making money off this.
Well, Uncle Arnold, like Ben says, he's the brains in the business. It's like that guy from Snatch who says, he turns to the one guy who's really, really stupid and he says to him, "Oh, you must be the brains in the business. That's right, guns at fire shots."
I'm pretty sure Uncle Arnold wants to make his money back somehow.
He won't, not from this.
I think he just wants to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what he's looking
at. He's just trying to contain the costs.
No, but hang on. How do we know that Uncle Arnold...
Because he's the genius here.
No. How do we know that he paid for this whole thing? Didn't it come straight out of Oscar's money? Why would Uncle Arnold fund...
Well, I'm sure Oscar has no money left.
Yeah, I thought he went broke after paying Barry.
No, that's what they said.
Oh, you know how expensive lawyers are? Trust me.
Yeah, but do you know how much money he's made in his career? And how much he's invested?
I think he's out of cash. I think he's finished.
Mubs, we can all make a lot of money, but a lot of Barry means you have little left.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's depleted. I don't think he's got anything left. And thank God he's got rich Uncle Arnold. But I'm sure Uncle Arnold wants to stem the flow of money at this point. He can't keep on writing checks for Oscar. You know, eventually he's going to drag him down. And self-preservation is a big deal in the Pistorius family.
let's also not forget that it's Judge Masipa who was doing the sentencing, and she was the one who initially said, "1 year for you." And
yeah, then, she liked him. So I think she might, but then she might.
That's
come
another
back.
Thing to
she
keep.
She might
in
come
mind.
Back and try to prove a point and be really hardcore.
Yeah. Then does she overcompensate by going 15 years?
Poor motherfucker is sitting there going, "Oh, please, Judge Masipa, you fell for me once, fall for me again."
Because go ahead.
Yeah, so I think we're going to say the same thing, because if she's lenient again, everyone's going to be again going, "Oh, she shouldn't have got this."
Yeah, because essentially the Constitutional Court said,
the SCA, Supreme Court.
They basically said, "Judge Masipa, you got it wrong first time.
Yeah, don't mess up again."
She'll have that in the back of her mind this time around.
Right. Oh. Well, it's very complicated, this.
But it's taking place this week, so this week you'll have that.
Well, I wish it was over. Right? I just wish this whole thing was over. Like, I'm curious to know what happens now, but it feels like it's been dragging a long time. How many years since Reva was killed? 3, 4? It was 2013, right? No, 3 years.
3 years.
All right, well, here's something funny that I was just sent by Adriano now. He said, "Watch Jim Jeffries explain what it would be like if God was a real person drunk at a party." He hits the nail on how crazy the homophobic side of religion is. Listen to this. In the light of the Orlando shooting, right?
God loves you. Jesus loves you. Some bullshit like that. Because Christians have this belief that there's a man on a cloud that loves them. Let's say he exists. He doesn't fucking love you. I've heard Christians say that my God loves me unconditionally. No such thing as unconditional love. That's a load of fucking bullshit. My mum always throws that one out there. My mum always goes, "Jim, I love you no matter what. I love you unconditionally." And I always think to myself, what if I cut one of her tits off? What if I just got a rusty blade and started hacking into that obese woman's breast? And, like, would she still love me? She might. I'm not willing to test it. But I can tell you for sure that God does not love you unconditionally. I have already given you a condition. If you don't put a small amount of water on a baby's forehead, it burns for eternity. That's the condition of a fucking psychopath. Like, if God showed up at a party, he'd be the least welcome person in party history. Like, everyone would be having a good time, then someone would go, "Don't look up." Oh, no. God's here. Hey, God, how are you going? We didn't know you were going to be here. Yeah, well, I'm fucking everywhere, aren't I? So why the fuck wouldn't I be here? Well, God, it's really great to have you here. We're really happy you're here. And then God's like, "Everyone! Everyone! Can everyone please be quiet and look at me right now? I've come down to tell all of you, I want you all to know that I love all of you unconditionally." And they're like, "Thanks for that, God. We really appreciate that." Then they go back to their party. And then God goes, "Is that all you have to say?" "Sorry, God? I just said I love you." "Oh, fucking shit, yeah. We love you too." "Good, good, good. Because you know if you don't, you'll fucking burn, right?" "Yes, God, we really love you. We really love you. Do you love any other gods?" "No, we don't. We really don't." "Okay, cool. Sorry, everyone. I'm sorry. I've had too much to drink. I'm sorry." And then they go back to their party, and obviously God's not getting enough attention. He pipes up again. "Everybody, one last thing. I know you all said you love me, and that's really cool of you. I want you to do one more thing for me. Now, I want to point out that you won't burn if you don't do this, but it would go a long way not to burning if you get my fucking drift. Right? It would be really great if you could all sing songs about me." And they're like, "Sorry, God? I made the fucking world. Just sing a fucking song. What's the problem?" And they're like, "Yeah. Yeah, we can do this, can't we, gang? Let's sing some songs for God." And they start singing some gospel music. And to begin with, God's fucking digging it. He's just... Because let's not forget that God's a white guy.
Hence the obvious shitty dancing.
And halfway through this song, God starts to turn.
Uh-oh.
Everyone stops singing. Who's the guy in the pink shirt who's enjoying singing? Oh, that's Brian and his boyfriend. "You know I hate faggots. But God, calm down. You just said you love everyone, not faggots, I didn't." And then people are trying to calm him down. He's like, "Don't you fucking touch me. Don't touch me, you faggot lover." They're like, "God, it's probably best you just leave this party. You're all gonna fucking burn, all you fucking cunts." And he goes outside and he's trying to calm himself down. "I fucking hate faggots. I couldn't be clearer about this. It's in my book, for fuck's sake. Everyone's got the book. No one's fucking read the book. Everyone's got the book." Then he passes like a young couple holding hands. He's like, "Hey, how you doing? You see that tree? I fucking made that shit. Hey, wait. Wait. Are you two married?" "No." "Well, don't fuck each other. I hate young people fucking. And I hate faggots."
And you get the rest of it. I mean, Jim Jefferies is a genius. You could say he's offensive and all the rest of it too, but he does cut through the crap. Gets to the point. You see how incompatible these things are? Like, if that was a real person, you would hate them. You wouldn't want them anywhere near you. So anyway, I'm very, very sad about this Orlando thing, but don't worry. By the end of the week, you see, this is how humans work. By the end of the week, we'll have something else to complain about, and we'll have forgotten about this. So we'll have moved straight along. In fact, I think it's time for the weekend wrap-up with Michael Flax. So let's get a look at some celebrity stuff, some stuff to distract you from the real issues, some stories about Justin Bieber, no doubt. I mean, there got to be one or two, right?
Justin Bieber was very, very quiet this weekend. Oh. It seems all celebrities were quiet this weekend.
Well, let's go, Flax, into all the stories in the weekend wrap-up with Michael Flax at cliffcentral.com. What do we got?
I'm sorry, but I must start with a sad story.
Oh, another sad story.
I don't know if you guys heard what happened to Christina Grimmie.
Oh, shame, yeah. This is the girl who, she was in the, she won the Voice, didn't she?
I'm not sure if she won. She was definitely a contestant, and now she's an American singer-songwriter.
Right.
She had a concert over the weekend, and afterwards she had a sort of meet and greet. And a guy just walked up to her and started shooting her for no reason.
Oh,
her brother was standing next to her, and the brother tackled the guy. And in the scuffle to get the gun, the guy shot himself dead.
Wow, what kind of a... I mean, this is just unbelievable, right? One weekend and the two incidents that couldn't be more different, but for the use of weapons.
Mm.
This guy was a fan. He actually went to the meet and greet.
He went to go watch the concert, and afterwards he just shot her.
Some sad, crazy stuff going on in the world. I don't even know how to make sense of this.
Reports haven't come out yet why he did it.
Well, we'll never know.
They've released a name, and that's it.
No, he's dead. We'll never know. He might have just been completely crazy. You would think he probably is completely crazy. That's the logical explanation. Why would someone shoot somebody they go to a concert of?
Maybe security needs to...
Don't get me wrong. I was tempted once with the Spice Girls, but you didn't see me arrive with a gun. Plus, how do you get a gun into a stadium?
Exactly. There was no security at this.
Yeah.
She wasn't briefed on any security concerns or the need for security. Mm.
Jared Kubis says, I smell a Piers Morgan interview coming. Oh, yeah. Because he's the big anti-gun guy. You know, that's a lot of people saying that's why he lost that show that he took over from Larry King. That's a lot of people saying. I don't think that's entirely true. His ratings are bad anyway. But Piers Morgan did make a point of saying that America has this unhealthy obsession with guns. And I saw a great cartoon over the weekend. America Reacts. And it's got a mom kind of cradling her child every time one of these shooting stories happens. And then on the other side, the dad is clutching his gun. That's America reacting. So there is a pathology here that we have to figure out too.
But is there any solution? Like, you take guns away, we're just going to figure out another way of killing people.
Yeah, but let's take the guns away. I don't see any downside to that, to be perfectly honest, right?
I mean, imagine someone now comes with a sword because they didn't have a gun. It's still death to another person.
Yeah, but you can get it. You can get further away from a sword than you can from a gun.
Mm. You just have to be able to run faster than the sword wielding lunatic. Right, what's he going to do? Throw the sword at you?
Probably. Have you watched Game of Thrones? All right. Well, what else do we have? So hopefully, it's not all sad news. Flex.
Well, there can never be a week where the Kardashians stay out of the news.
Oh, great!
So, Blac Chyna and Rob Kardashian—they've signed a docu-series around her pregnancy.
What does this mean?
They will film her throughout the pregnancy. We'll see the birth probably. We'll see the baby growing up. But they've refused to sign any deals with regards to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Their wedding is now going to be handled by Kris Jenner, who will make sure that they get a seven-figure deal for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, look,
that's a good move.
The Kardashians are doing what they do for a living, so this is hardly surprising.
They make money off series. I mean, Kris Jenner can probably sell air to us and we'll buy it as long as the Kardashians breathed it as well.
Gotta play the Kardashian song, right?
Oh.
Hi, my name is Kimmy. I'm so rich and I'm so famous. You know I have no talent, just a massive hairy anus. Kris Jenner is my momager. You know she is a genius. She even filmed my sex tape when I'm sucking Ray J's penis. Kim Kardashian. Chris Humphries win me back. Kim Kardashian. If he paints his white dick black. Kim Kardashian. I love my house in Calabasas. Kim Kardashian. Why do my sisters have mustaches? We are perfect and we are our meat. Dr. Goosey had sex with Brucey in my mom's bed. Hey. We gave him head. Hey. Our mom said it's okay because your real dad is dead.
Oh, it's okay, honey. He's not your real dad.
The Kardashians.
Okay, there we go. What else have you got for us, Blax?
Now, remember that little breakup season we had where Taylor Swift and Calvin Harris broke up?
Then yes, they
Gigi
did.
Hadid and Zayn Malik broke up.
Yes, they did.
Turns out Gigi Hadid and Zayn Malik did never, they never ever broke up.
Oh.
It was just rumor mill because over the weekend they were clinging to each other's arms.
Oh,
even,
see?
Even Gigi Hadid's dad said, I saw them, they were together. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Well, there we go. You see, you can't believe every headline. How do we know that you're telling us the proper headlines this morning, by the way?
I go on my sources, and my sources are credible.
Do you have multiple sources? Because, you know, the key is to not just have one person.
Yeah.
That was that whole controversy last week with the U.S. Embassy and their terror alert. The whole thing was that our government said that they only had one source.
No, I got multiple sources.
All right.
And as I said, very quiet week for the celebrities. They really didn't do much over the weekend, so that's about it.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, the very short weekend wrap-up. I've got an email here. This is from Mike. And Mike says, the story about how an organization that won the tender to send firefighters to Canada is shafting them. The organization's being paid $170 a day per firefighter, but they're only passing on $50 a day to the actual workers, some of who are now striking. So it's from Lindsay. Sorry, not from Mike. Mike is who she sent it to, Michael Flax. So how do you like that? It turns out that it's a bunch of greedy capitalists who have decided to profiteer off of our firefighters being in Canada. Isn't that disgusting? And then, of course, the firefighters get the blame.
Yeah, that's what I find disgusting. On Facebook, you see people going, oh, these greedy firemen. Yeah, because they started being firemen because of the money in the first place.
What do you think of this? I mean, isn't this appalling?
It's horrific because now, isn't it, Canada's also supporting the firefighters because the government is taking most of the money from the firefighters when the firefighters went on strike?
It turns out not even the government. It's a company. It's
wow.
A for-profit company that won this tender. See, I'd have such a problem with this tender awarding process. It seems to me it's completely irregular, but also profiteering in areas like firefighting. There should not be a profit motive for firefighters and emergency service personnel. It should never be for profit. Those kinds of things government should pay for out of our tax money. I'm not saying the people who do these things shouldn't earn money, but we shouldn't be profiteering off of it.
It comes back to the same old problem. The little guy who does all the work is the one that suffers.
Gets screwed. That's right. Yeah, some businesses are not for profit. Like if you're in healthcare, for example. I'm not saying you shouldn't earn a good living. You're helping save people's lives. You're doing important work. And there's obviously money to be made there. And some of it is completely justifiable. But if you have an interest in keeping people sick so that you can make more money out of them, that to me is contra bonus mores. It's against the good morals of society. Education shouldn't really be for profit. I mean, I know there are plenty of good private businesses in this country who are making lots of money out of education because the state system has failed so horribly. But in an ideal world, education shouldn't be for profit either.
Sure.
It should be to cover the costs, right?
It is astounding how much money parents pay for private schools.
Scary. So there we go. I mean, I think we need to look at this. I think we need to get into the nitty-gritty of this and figure out which businesses, because they're all businesses, which businesses should be for profit and which businesses should be for taxpayer purposes. I mean, they should be paid for by the state. And if those things are hugely expensive, we've got to find the money. That's all. We've got to find the money. Some of it, you can always choose to go and be private. You know, I'm not saying that we have to have the national health insurance. It's up to you. But certain things should be paid for by the state. A minimum of things, I'll add, but there are some. It's just better that we don't let greedy capitalists take care of every single part of the economy. Adriano says, we keep asking what's wrong with the world and with all these mass killings and shootings. And then the next story is about a seven-figure sum for the coverage of the pregnancy and birth of a stripper-cum-celebrity like Blac Chyna. I don't know what's worse. Well, the one actually hurts people, the other one doesn't. The profit motive is the most important incentive to help others. You can't dismiss economics for some industries and not others. Well, you know what? I'm saying that I have double standards.
No, I mean, profit motive, yes, but where does it become greed, which is where the real problem starts, is when it's now about greed.
I agree. I would like very much to see an argument for capitalism with a conscience. That's all. I'm not saying capitalism's bad. I just want to know where that very gray area is, where greed is regarded as still being acceptable behavior in an environment where people are getting screwed. Surely there comes a point where you have to decide, okay, this is where the line is, that capitalism is no longer good at this point. Like where, for example, firefighters in Canada who are helping the Canadians to put out fires that are killing people or at least destroying huge swathes of property, that those people are doing a job and that they should be paid at very least what a Canadian firefighter would be paid for the same job. Because they're not even at home. And not that some greedy man as an in-betweener, as a middleman, should be putting cash in his pocket. There's no moral argument for that guy. What's he doing? He was awarded a tender by government. How can he be profiteering like this off of fires in Canada? He's taking money the Canadian government are paying those firefighters for, putting it in his pocket for sitting somewhere here in South Africa. Can't be right. Is there anyone who wants to argue for them?
Nope.
No, I mean, I'd just like to add that I always find it very surprising when people are shocked when the little guy who's being screwed over gets tired of being screwed over. And then they act surprised, like, oh, you're upset about being screwed over? And then they say, oh, well, you just don't understand economics. Yeah, he doesn't care about economics. He's being screwed over and he's fed up with it. Like,
exactly.
What do you expect him to do?
Spot on. God, we're really tearing apart a whole lot of important stuff this Monday, huh? Depressing sports weekends equal people getting into sad news on a Monday.
Would you like to hear some of the most...
Okay, if you started laughing already, this is going to be good.
It was a big weekend for the royal family this past weekend, right? Because the Queen's birthday is actually in April when she turned 90. But they always leave the pomp and ceremony for June because they say the weather is better and then they can do a whole spiel.
Yeah, so the Queen gets two birthdays. She gets her birthday in April, which is her actual birthday.
Yes.
Then she gets some kind of June celebration, which is her official birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to be the queen.
It's good to be the queen.
Nice. Right.
And then also this past weekend was the Duke of Edinburgh's birthday.
Oh, Philip.
Yes. He turned 95.
I love Philip.
Oh. Well, you're in the 90s.
He's 95. She's 90.
95 years old. He's still in pretty good condition for a 95-year-old, huh?
You know, I caught glimpses of this on TV over the weekend. And both of them are really, really impressive people because 1995... I've never seen either one of them using a walking stick.
No.
They can stand up when required to. They can sit down. They can walk on their own without any assistance. It's really quite impressive.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, Philip does look a bit leathery, but he's... And by the way, I just want to point out, like a lot of people who say Prince Harry doesn't look like Prince Charles, if you compare Prince Harry to Prince Philip, and there's a great picture of the two of them that I'll put up on the internet later on, you could see that they're related. I mean, Philip looks like a much older Harry, and Harry looks like a much younger Philip. So he might have skipped a generation in Charles, but there's definitely something going on there. So yeah, what have they released, Mubs?
Well, no, because one of the things that all the different publications thought would be nice was to accumulate all the classic gaffes that Prince Philip has been quoted saying, right? At different moments in time.
All right.
When this guy married the Queen, I can't remember who exactly said this, but somebody actually said of the Prince that he was ill-mannered and he was rough in the way that he spoke. And this has proven to be the case throughout time. So we're going to go through some of the things that Prince Philip has said.
All right.
After being told that Madonna was singing the Die Another Day theme in 2002, Prince Philip said, "Are we going to need earplugs?"
Oh, shots have been fired.
So he does not like Madonna, all right?
There was once an incident where they were taking a whole bunch of pictures, him and the Queen, and the photographer was apparently kind of, you know, mucking around, and, you know, he was just taking way too long. Eventually, Prince Philip eventually said, just hurry up and take the fucking picture. This guy.
But I would do that. I mean, wouldn't you?
No.
He's so human. He's so normal. He's such a normal dude.
But he's royalty.
Yes, of course. But that's exactly why he feels he could speak up. I love it.
To a car park attendant who didn't recognize him in 1997, he snapped, "You bloody silly fool." Oh my goodness. To a female sea cadet last year, he said, "Do you work in a strip club?"
Who's this guy? Does he have a filter?
He's in his 90s and he's telling girls, they're asking if they work in strip clubs. Beautiful. All right, what else has he said?
Well, he upset a whole bunch of women when he once said that British women can't cook.
What?
He's not wrong. British women can't cook.
How do you know?
British women. British food is horrible. Have you ever eaten British food?
No.
Their contribution to world cuisine is the potato chip. That's it.
I reserve my opinion until I taste British food.
Well, all right. Let's go to Rolf, who's on the line. Talk to him. Mabs, you got more of those from Prince Philip?
Sure, but I mean, let's hear from
Rob. There's a page of them. Rolf. Is it Rolf?
Sorry.
Rolf. Hello, Rolf. Go ahead.
Hello. How's it going?
Yeah, good, man. Go for it.
Good, thanks, man. I just want to add something to the gun rule.
Yes.
Australia had a mass shooting up in 1996, 1997, mm-hmm. and the government said... Yeah, that's not going to work for us. They outlawed guns, and I don't know if it's coincidence or something, but since then, I haven't had one mass shooting.
Yeah, I agree. It's not coincidence. If there aren't guns around, you can't kill people in mass shootings.
Yeah. So that's it. And then just the Jim Jeffries thing, if there's a good thing about him with gun control as well. The only reason the Americans still say no, we need guns, is because to protect ourselves. But if there is a war against the government, they have drones and tanks and bombs. You know, what's the gun going to do anyway? So his whole point is there's no reason for guns.
Yeah, I mean, it's an old thing, you know, and Americans, that you've got to go into the psychology of this. America, where it was born, where it's been, the Civil War... 9/11, all of these things have had a tremendous impact on what Timothy, I don't know if you've ever heard Timothy Maurice's show, but you should listen to that every now and then. And you should download the podcasts if you haven't. He goes into a discussion of epigenetics, which is how kind of lived experiences are stored in your genes, and how, you know, people two generations removed from the Holocaust still are very prickly and have a kind of survivor guilt and a lot of other feelings that come from the genes. That's why in South Africa, there are lots and lots of black people who very personally and intimately feel the pain of apartheid, even though they were born afterwards. You know, it's kind of, America has that problem because their history has been a very brutal one too. And as a result, they're overly concerned with personal protection and the Second Amendment. And remember, if they didn't have that Second Amendment, they wouldn't have been able to repel the British. If they weren't armed and able to mount their own insurrections in the First Revolutionary War, they wouldn't have been there would have been no nation of America. So there's an argument for that, but I think we've moved
we have moved on. And this is why I'm actually saying, if you're going to play a nice clip about Jim Jeffries, it's called Gun Control. And he actually explained it. It's not like the olden days, where we need guns. We are powerless against a government nowadays. We have better weapons like social media and Twitter and Facebook. Yeah.
These are our weapons.
That's our new weapon. Right. So, if you're going to change, you're going to change the people within the government to use the government's weapons against them, like Fidel Castro.
All right, dude.
Rolf, the radio, yeah.
Thank you, man.
But anyways, all right. Thank you, Rolf.
Rolf throwing us completely off the track of Prince Philip's gaffes, which I was kind of enjoying. But Jared says, mushy peas is another British wonder. Take peas, put it in a blender, and act like you actually like it. Mushy peas, disgusting, right?
That's like baby food.
It's horrible. That's another British invention. Okay, so we were back on Prince Philip a moment ago, and Prince Philip has said some outrageous things in his life. Let's hear some more of those.
In the year 2000, he was offered wine in Rome, and he snapped, "I don't care what kind it is, just get me a beer."
Now that's the kind of thing you've said before at bars and nightclubs, Mavs.
He went to the Cayman Island, yeah. And as he was speaking to the locals, he said, "Aren't most of you descended from pirates?"
Yeah, good.
Was okay. It? I think it was the president of Nigeria who he met, and he was dressed in his traditional attire, to which Prince Philip said, "You look like you're going to bed."
Oh, gosh.
I love this guy. There's no filter. That he does not abide by any of the normal social rules and norms. And he's the most important guy in the room often. And it's such a disarming thing. I told you about when I met him. I told the story 100 times. He walks up and you say, "Your Royal Highness." And I say, "May I present this head boy, head girl, headmaster of our school?" So he goes, "And who the hell are you?" So I go, "Well," and I start trying to explain why I'm there. And he says to me, "Oh, you're just a hanger-on, are you?" So normally at this point, you'd exit out of the conversation and go and cry quietly on your own. So I go, "Yes, Your Royal Highness, I'm just a hanger-on." So he looks at me, winks, and he points to the Queen and he goes, "Well, I know how you feel."
Oh.
So he's super smart. He's really good at this stuff. And you've got to remember, 95 years old, he and the Queen got married in their 20s. He spent 70-odd years following her around, going to endless handshaking and memorial unveiling and ribbon-cutting ceremonies. The guy's also looking to entertain himself a little bit. So if he meets someone interesting, he says to her, "Do you work in a strip club?" Great move. And give him a beer, for God's sake, right?
Yeah. And he obviously didn't like the Duke of York's house, because back in 1986, he had this to say: "It looks like a tart's bedroom."
That's his son's house.
He's like a living Blackadder character.
It's great. We're going to miss him when he's gone. Yes, Flex.
On the way to the Queen's birthday yesterday, so they ride in the street in a Range Rover with the roof off. So they wave at the crowd and that.
Yes.
So next minute, Prince Philip knocks on the roof, the roof of the Range Rover,
yeah.
And he tells the driver to speed up in front of the Queen, and she looks at him and has a giggle and then carries on waving.
Because he wants to get where they're going. He's
bored.
Yeah,
he wants to just get there.
He's bored. I mean, this guy does not like meeting people. He doesn't even probably like anyone. He probably hates all of us.
Yeah. He wants to leave it to his wife. He's like, "Wife, yeah. You do it, I'll do the rest.
I married you. I didn't ask for this."
It's not my job.
I still want to come back to Earth as Prince Philip. What a life that must be. Can you imagine? You just have to dress up and meet people. That's all. What a great job. Occasionally you cut a ribbon, you make a speech, you say something outrageous, then you go back to your palace, put your feet up, get a massage, go to sleep, eat something that you order from the kitchen downstairs that they have to make. It's great to be Prince Philip. Imagine. What a life. Anything else?
To Elton John on his gold Aston Martin in 2001, the prince said, "Oh, it's you that owns that ghastly car, is it?"
Oh.
And I mean, what are you going to say to him when he says that to you?
That ghastly car. Like,
what are you going to say in response?
Oh, Elton John must have been mortified. A gold Aston Martin. All right, yeah? There's so many. There's one for every year he's been alive. They've compiled a list.
Yeah, because he was asked about one of his trips to Canada, and he said, "Oh, we don't go there for our health." I mean, if we had better things to do with our time, we would. And then when he was asked about being in Beijing, he said, "Oh, it's ghastly, ghastly."
Oh, my goodness.
Once he was at an exposition in Japan or something. So he said to the guy, because there was this box of wires, and it was supposed to do something impressive, and he said...
No.
He said, "It looks like it was put in by an Indian."
Oh my God.
So he doesn't mind who he offends. And at least he's an equal opportunity offender. You can tell he thinks he's superior to everyone on Earth, right?
Oh, gosh.
And let's be fair, he is. He does kind of live the best life of any human male in existence. There's not a moment of a scrap of doubt in my mind that Prince Philip has had affairs with beautiful women the whole time he's been married to the Queen. He's been a good partner to her in crime. They've gone out and done all the things that royal families have to do. He's produced for her, he's procured for her four children, at least one of which is a decent, upstanding citizen. and they've managed to keep it together. Plus, he lets the Queen do all the Queen things, and he gets on with being a good consort. I like Prince Philip. I think he's done an enormous amount of good for Britain, even though he's Greek.
He is Greek, isn't he?
Well, he's Prince Philip of Greece, but he's about as Greek as I am Scottish.
Okay.
I mean, he's the Duke of Edinburgh. He's got no Scot in him. It's just a thing. They call him Prince Philip of Greece because his family from there. His mother was Danish. And they're all Germans deep down. That's the other thing about the British royal family that people don't like to talk about, is that they're actually Germans.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. You know what their real surname is? Since Queen Victoria?
Mm-hmm.
Kaiserslautern.
No. Sachs-Coburg-Gotha.
Ooh, that's a mouthful.
Mm. Gotha. It's a pretty, that's old European aristocracy. Gotha. G-O-T-H-A. And then, of course, it was, well, you know what Philip's real surname is? Is Battenberg.
Battenberg.
Battenberg. They changed it after the World War because it didn't sound that good that the Nazis you were fighting, the Germans effectively, that you were fighting the Germans and you had a German royal family, it's a problem. So they changed it to Mountbatten, which sounds very English, right? Invented. They invented the surname. Oh. Windsor is the Queen's official surname, right? Oh. That's what it's... But it's actually Coburg-Gotha. I'm telling you. There's a whole lot of smoke and mirrors going on there. And people are fooled. Very easily fooled. All right, is that Prince Philip done?
Yeah, that's Prince Philip done.
Any other news you want to throw in?
Sure, just that the SABC were hacked over the weekend.
Oh, no.
By Anonymous Africa. What?
What?
Yeah.
Halala, my freestyle, halala.
Halala.
Halala, Limpopo, halala.
Halala.
Halala, Gauteng, halala.
Halala.
Halala, KwaZulu-Natal, halala.
Halala.
Halala, Western Cape, halala.
There's Flody just saying hi to everybody this morning.
The hacktivist group, are they really calling themselves hacktivists? Uh-huh. Okay. That launched a massive cyber attack on the SABC yesterday afternoon. They brought the attack to a halt at around 4 p.m., but they did say on Twitter that we are not done. Lots of action coming. Things are going to get wild.
Hmm.
Basically, they're doing this in retaliation for the national broadcaster's decision to censor news coverage of protests, right? Because Claudie is on a mission to, I don't know, do what with the SABC?
But then they must hack the TV and radio signals. Why are they going after the internet? SABC viewers and listeners don't know the internet.
Yeah, the SABC sites went down at around lunchtime
they don't
yesterday.
Have the, that's why they're forced to watch that shitty television and listen to those horrible radio stations. Because they don't have the internet, otherwise they'd be listening to us.
This includes SAFM and 5FM websites that were hacked.
Well, I mean, you're not going to miss out on anything there.
But Dr. Jonathan Witt made a really good point around this. It's like these guys are doing this noble thing, right? They're hacking this oppressive Khadi and the government broadcast or whatever.
Right.
But all they're going to do is they're now going to find the most expensive firewalls and computer geeks in the world, and then we pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Anonymous, you're doing a good job, but please realize that this
you're
is making
cost
it worse.
Us money.
You're costing us money.
Because now Claudie's going to say, fine, we've got to hire some company that's going to go out to tender. They're going to investigate this. It's going to cost billions.
Rather just hack the guy's personal stuff if you really want to make a point.
You know, it would be cool if they hacked the site and took the site hostage until the SABC donated like 10 million rand to charity or something like that.
Michael,
and they keep doing that.
That's our 10 million rand. You know what the SABC does? They run until they go into deficit and then they ask for a bailout. So,
Guess where the bailout comes from?
Tax.
Right. Because the SABC doesn't make money. Well, it once did. For a brief shining moment when Peter McLare was there.
Who wants to pay their TV licenses now?
Please. Are you kidding?
But that's just it. Like, our TV licenses are going to go up now because Claudia has to buy a new firewall.
Mm-hmm.
These guys it's just they have so much power being able to hack into these accounts that if they just position a strategy correctly, they could do so much good.
Hey, Mubs, do you think... Do you think that the SABC is going to up their security on these websites now? Do you think they know how to do that? Or do you think it's going to stay the same?
I think it's going to stay the same. I mean, weren't they supposed to switch to, you know, I think it'll stay the same. I don't even think that half of them understand fully what happened over the weekend when they were hacked.
Well, who knows? You know what? Don't listen to and watch the SABC. Why would you waste your time? It's insulting to your intelligence. The SABC is going to be for dumb people in the future. Really? That's all. People who don't have any other options. Because if you rely on the SABC for your information, you're in a lot of trouble. Just like you were in a lot of trouble in the 1970s and 80s if you relied on the SABC for your information. They're going to tell you what the government wants you to know. There's no brains in this anymore. And now that they're playing 90% local music, you might not even find that the music is to your liking. So what the hell are you doing still listening to them? If you are, you deserve it. That's all I have to say about that.
Can we talk about you remember Hulk Hogan, right?
Ooh.
He won that lawsuit against Gawker because what they did was they took a video of him having sex with a friend's wife,
mm-hmm,
and they posted it online.
That's right.
And, you know, he took them to court saying it was an invasion of his privacy, blah, blah, blah. Hogan won a judgment for $115 million
Wow.
In compensatory damages, plus an added $25 million in punitive damages. So in total, $140 million that Gawker have to pay him.
And they don't have the money, right?
They don't have the money because they are now filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Good. Because Gawker's a sleazy, trashy, horrible news outlet that deserved to fail.
The filing by the 14-year-old website follows a revelation in May that Silicon Valley billionaire Peter Thiel bankrolled Hogan's lawsuit. Ooh. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Gawker says that it plans to sell itself to publishing company Ziff Davis. I don't know anything about them. Although they say that other bidders are welcome to, you know, to put in some money. Who would want to buy Gawker?
An idiot. I don't think you can fix that. It's a horrible, sleazy, trashy thing. Get out of there. I mean, look, I don't like the idea of a billionaire coming in and deciding to destroy a media company, which is precisely what Peter Thiel has done here. And he started this 10 years ago. He's quietly been plotting against them for 10 years. And apparently the reason he hates them so much is because they outed him as gay years ago. And so he's always had a grudge against them. Mm-hmm. So when you have money and a grudge, and patience, you can make things very awful for a company.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily an upstanding thing to do. But hey, someone had to pull down Gawker. Better it's Peter Thiel who has an axe to grind. And if you're such a horrible business that you actually are turning people's personal lives into news and dredging up all kinds of really unsavory stuff about them, that's not news. That's gossip writ large. I don't know that you're the kind of news outlet that we should support. Let's see what happens here. All right, is that it?
Yep.
That's it. That's the news. When we come back in a moment or two, Siobhan Scallon will be in. She, of course, was awaiting a lung transplant last year. She was fortunate enough to get hers on the 30th of September. At the last minute, she got her new lungs, and she's now doing incredibly well. Actually, she's superhuman. We're going to meet her in a moment or two. And we'll find out all about what's going on in organ donation. We found out that Mabali is an organ donor, but that probably none of her organs are very useful.
It's a sad state of affairs.
I mean, her lungs are terrible because she's asthmatic.
I have cataracts in my eyes.
Cataracts in
your
eyes.
Corneas are useless.
Your liver is completely destroyed thanks to years of alcohol abuse. I mean, it's pretty much flammable. If you had to take her liver out of her body, it would burst into flame.
My kidneys have probably had a lot of stress put on them as well because of the drinking. Because of the drinking.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I don't know how useful you'd be, really.
I didn't think this through.
I think you should remove your name from the donor list and save everybody the trouble. I think it's really actually quite rude that you even think you deserve to be on this.
How dare you?
How dare you put yourself on that list? What a disgrace.
Oh, dear. My parents would not be proud.
Oh, they're pleased. They're horrified. They're disgusted in you. What's the problem with you here? All right, so there's lots of other good stuff to come, and we'll chat about the rest of the day on cliffcentral.com in a short moment or two. You can call us if you'd like to. 08 61555189. Anything that that anyone else wants to add? Ben, have you got anything on your mind before we go to our guests for the morning?
Not at all, Gareth. Let's proceed.
Oh, wow. Look at you. No problem with Ben. No flies on him. All right. Let me get a nice song for us here quickly. What's that song? Good Intentions. Who is it? Na, 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 na. I just had a sudden flashback to a song. I think it's by... It is. Toad the Wet Sprocket. Have you heard of them, Mubs?
No.
Really?
That is a very interesting name.
Ben, have you ever heard Toad the Wet Sprocket?
Of course, yeah.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
You know who they are?
Yep.
All right, so let me get a song from them, because I think you'll like them. Very, very cool band. And the song called Good Intentions, which should make you feel happy this morning. It's a beautiful song. Take a listen to this. CliffCentral.com.